And I want you to turn with me, please, to the prophecy of Isaiah. I suppose you have heard that the remark often passed that we'll turn to the gospel according to Isaiah, meaning that the great seeds, roots, and truths of the gospel are to be found somewhere in this great prophecy. I want tonight to spend a time with you in the latter part of the prophecy. You will know it very conveniently divides between 39 and 40. But I want to read some verses from the 62nd chapter. Chapter 62. For Zion's sake, says God, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. For thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand, and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored, but they that have gathered it shall eat it, and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Amen. I want to come there in course of time. But before we get there, I would like you to understand this, that this great man Isaiah was a prophet of God in a tremendous way. And you know, the prophets of the Lord have always spoken the word of God. They've always opened the heart of God. They've made known to men and women what God thinks, how he feels, what he purposes to do, his attitude to men and women. Primarily, we know that these great men of God of old, they were concerned with God's great plans that he had made for his people Israel, whom he had made a nation. You will remember how that he went into Egypt to bring them out. They went down into Egypt 70 souls, and they came out a great nation of people. By the marvel of the Passover, God brought them out, bringing them out, intending to settle them in the land that he had for them. That's why there's so much talk about land and crops and grapes and corn and things like that in these great readings. And God intended them to be in that country, and he to be their God, and there should be such a wonderful relationship between them and God. I don't know whether you're in a wonderful relationship with God, each one of us in this room tonight, whether there is a real, substantial, growing, ever-maturing relationship between your heart and the living God. That is what God intends. He's always intended it. And he sent his Son, you will remember, into the world to fulfill everything that was lived out in the natural sphere in ancient Israel. His promises to them, of course, still stand good. But we are living in a great period of time when God, ceasing for a moment to go through, that is a moment as compared with eternity, you will remember he says this through Isaiah, he says, in a little moment I hid my face from thee. That's right. And God has left that just for a moment. He hasn't forsaken his people whom he foreknew. But blessed be the name of the Lord, what the Jews of old failed to receive, rejecting the Christ, only wanting him to be their king upon one occasion, so far as we're able to read in the New Testament. What they lost and could have had, it seems, there and then, because the kingdom of God was at hand whilst he was on earth. Well, they having, if you like, put back the clock for themselves, God has turned his great worldwide invitation unto us. Now, blessed be the name of the Lord. God has intended great intentions for us. But you know, if you only come on a mere earthly basis, even as I was speaking about the Lord while he was on earth, you will not get very far with God. You may recall the occasion when, having taken 5 loaves and 2 fishes, we referred to this last week, the Lord fed that great multitude of people. And then it says, John's Gospel, this is, you must read for this, he perceived that they would come by force and make him a king. That was the time. You see, he would have solved all their economic troubles. I expect all the leaders of the TUC would have accepted him on this basis. If they could have given him 5 loaves and 2 fishes, it would have been marvelous. We'll have him for king. He couldn't have been a merely titular head. Praise God, he was very practical, down to earth, to supply all their bodily, physical needs. But Jesus wouldn't come on that basis. He doesn't come merely preaching a social gospel. He doesn't come just to satisfy our material levels. Search the scriptures and see. fantasies may turn him into some kind of a person like that, but the Scripture reveals that he has come in all his majesty as God, once made flesh among us. He has come now by the Holy Spirit to lead men and women into this glory of the knowledge of God being everything. Now, you and I have to see exactly what the Lord is after. I don't think that we can do better at this point than turn back in this great prophecy to the great 35th chapter. Some of you will know it. Here it is. Lovely words. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there, and the way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy. Upon their heads they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. What a glorious picture, then, that God, having put this into the book and was seeking to work it out in the earthly, material, natural realm for Israel, and they rejecting it, God has turned the whole of the spiritual content of this over to us, that we by his grace should come into such an experience of God that our heart should be filled with joy and gladness, and we should be in a mighty and wonderful experience of God. And if I said to you, hands up every one of you who this night are in the fullness of the blessing of the experience of God, how many of you could do it? And yet it is God's intention. It's as free as the air that you're breathing now. It is more glorious than these sordid kind of lights that are shining on us. It's more real than anything else in the world, beloved. And yet how many people are missing it. God has love toward us. His grace toward us is absolutely infinite.
extent, and
immeasurable.
He starts like this, you will remember. Let's read it. I want the Bible for the moment to speak to us the truth of God. Turn with me into the 40th chapter. This is how God began when he started his New Testament position. You remember John Baptist comes into this chapter with his great cries in Israel. Comfort ye, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Now, my beloved, listen. If you have an ear to hear what God is saying to you, that word comfortably, I'm reading from the Authorized Version, as you've gathered. I don't ever intend to move from it now. I'm a bit too old, or too young, or something. I don't quite know. But that word comfortably you've got there, in the Hebrew, it means speak to the heart of the people. Do you want God to talk to your heart tonight? I mean, people who usually occupy this stage, they don't talk to people's hearts particularly. That's not what they're after. They might want to move their emotions. They might want to amuse them. They might want to eat something more serious than that. Educate them. Artify them, if that's the right word to say. Culturize them or something. But when God is speaking, he's wanting to get to your heart. And if you're intending God to talk to your heart, and not sitting there like a piece of stone, already with the shutters up, already intending to put the word of God away from you. Well, I hope you're not talking like that. I hope you're sitting there saying, Lord, I want you to talk right to my heart. Well, now listen. He's saying, I want to comfort you. Comfort you. But look, let's get this understood. It's not possible for any man or woman to be comfortable in sin. God has no intention of comforting anyone who prefers sin and the world and the flesh and the devil to him, or any one of those things. Now that's got to be understood absolutely clearly. Israel of old missed the promises of God, though spoken on oath to them, because they wouldn't fulfill the condition of living unto God alone. That's why they missed it. They were there. God said, I carried you on eagle's wings to myself. He had every intention. In fact, he spoke again in this same 40th chapter. Look down to the end of the chapter. Listen. Verse 30. The youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. There he is. He's still in the same position. I bore you on eagle's wings to myself, he said. And here at this late hour, when the centuries had run their course, and hardness and God rejection and shallowness had come in, selfishness, looking after self-gain instead of after God, God is still talking to them. He says, I'll still bring you into this great eagle position. I'll bring you into the fullness and glory and of everything that I've promised you if you'll come on my terms. I have found over a fairly long ministerial life now, I should think 40 or more years since God baptized me in the Spirit. And if you want to talk about preaching, probably nearly 20 years before that. 10 years at least. So I've been at it a long time. And I have found that part of the trouble with so many people is that they want to have God on their own terms. Now listen, it costs God too much. It costs God everything. He's not prepared to come on anybody's terms at all. You understand that? That cross at Calvary means that God had gone to the uttermost limit, and he's able to say to the uttermost too, but he's not going to come down and kowtow to anybody, and nobody can put up terms to God. If you do this, then I'll believe, or if you this, then I'll do this. You cannot do that with God. Now you must understand that. Blessed be God for the revelation of the book. Adam could have stopped in Eden on God's terms. Don't touch that tree. See? That's all. He wanted to stop in Eden on his own terms. He took it. God said, out. You understand? Let's get this absolutely clear, beloved. Our blessed Lord who bled on that glorious cross has made his terms, and as it were, every word in this book is written in blood. And you and I have to see this great thing that God is offering to us. He wants to comfort you, my beloved. But wouldn't he be the biggest deceiver in the universe if he comforted you while still in your sin? Wouldn't he be lulling you into a false sleep? Wouldn't he be making you feel comfortable when you're hovering on the brink of hell? What sort of a God's that? Bless God for the clarion call. Bless God that he does love us. Comfort ye, he says. Comfort ye, my people. He commissions the great prophets to cry out, John Baptist came this way. Let's have a look at it. Verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight. Bless God for that. We've met so many twisters in our lives. The crooked shall be, perhaps we're twisters ourselves. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Hallelujah. What God has said he's going to do. Amen. Now that's tremendous. But you see, this prophet, he says, you're telling me to cry, God. You're telling me to say something to the people. But look at them. As soon as a little wind blows over them from God, they're gone. They can't stand the Holy Ghost. They're grass. How are you going to bring grass into what God has? They're so weak. That's it. How many among us have got a heart to hear what God has to say? Are prepared to be something more than grass. Look at the way. You can find it ever so easily in this great thing. Look at verse 17. All nations before him are as nothing, and accounted to him less than nothing and vanity. Well, bless God for that.
I'm ever so glad about that.
Because, you see, he's famous for creating things from nothing. That's where he starts. That's our God. Amen. This gospel is good news indeed. Let's go on a bit, shall we? We can find some other things here about people. You look at this verse 17. Am I going to preach to these? I'm in chapter 41. Am I going to preach to these people? Am I going to prophesy to these people? Listen to them. The poor and needy. In verse 17. Or look at this one then. Look at verse 14 of chapter 41. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. What a lot of people have been. Poor, needy, worms, about the lowest form of animate life, and grass. Amen. Now God has a great intention in his mind. I hope you see this. And I hope every one of us have come to some, at some time or another, to a place in our lives where we've honestly faced ourselves and seen what worms we are. Unfortunately, the whole of our educational system today is to try and teach young people that they're not worms. And that they've got tremendous this and that and the other and absolute potential and develop themselves and sell themselves. You know what I mean. Get over your personality. Develop yourself. Take courses in psychology and I don't know what. Well, I suppose in a world like we're living in, it's just about necessary. But I've come to the conclusion, I don't know whether you have, that civilization is little more than a jungle. What's this talk about Uganda now? What's all this talk about Ireland and England? And what's all this talk about legalizing sodomy? What's all, giving it a nice name, of course, if you care. What's all this great moral jungle in which we've come to live? Worse than a wilderness. It's a grave and the bones are whitening inside the sepulchre. I wonder if you agree with that. I listened to the results of a poll in London the other morning. Now, when I'm at home, I have a chance to listen to the wireless. It's a fairly rare occasion. I think there are about six people put up to take a political seat. The wrong chap got in, according to some people's thought. Some people thought it was right. But you see, one of the candidates was in the hustings for homosexuality. And he collected about 161 votes, I thought. I thought, well, good job, these people have got more sense than to vote for that. And there were two people put up for Christian principles, and I believe one of them was the lowest in the poll. There was, oh, we've got to be realists, we can't have these Christians. I mean, talking about voting for Christians. Vote for Tories, vote for socialists, vote for the homosexuals, vote for people that want to not noise, of, you know, noise abatement people. Let's get rid of Concord noise and bus noise and everybody else's noise except their own, I expect. I don't know. It goes like that. Beloved, what do you think of the world? Then ask yourself what the world thinks about you. And whether you're worth more than a vote. That's a cross on a bit of paper. You can get away with it. Now, to God, you can't. You can't tremendously. The prophet They're saying, oh Lord, I expect he's thinking, I've been at it for years, Lord, prophesying to these people. They're just like grass. They can't take the word of God, tell them about economics. You say, I don't find that in the Bible. No, but it's just another name for the same things they went through. Tell them about ecumenism. Yeah, that's right. That's what they were trying to link up with the Baal worshippers and the Sidonians. All a lot of it. It's all there in the God. It's always been down through the ages. Tell them about linking up for alms. And yes, that's fine. You say, well, we haven't changed much, have we? We've got more devilish, that's all. More sophisticated weapons. Now may God, having mercy upon us, look deeply into all our hearts. For man and woman, God's going to challenge you and me tonight. I sat at home and I meditated long before I came here, and God spoke deeply into my heart, stirring me again with the great challenge of God there in heaven, who's wanting the word of God to come to men and women. That's what he's wanting. It doesn't matter if you are a worm. It doesn't matter whether you do feel like a bit of grass. You need comfort, you need blessing, you need God to be upon you. Well, let God talk to you, beloved. If you listen to him, it's the beginning of your deliverance. Look at these great words. Look, I'm looking in chapter 42, verse 22. This is a people robbed and spoiled. They're all of them snared in holes. They're hid in prison houses. They're for a prey. None delivereth, for a spoil. None saith, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Blessed be the name of the Lord, the time's come. It had come in the day when Jesus said, the hour is come, Father. Hallelujah! The concentration of the needs of the ages. The hour has come, Father. And from that moment, and that which he transacted from that moment, going via the Via Dolorosa, as we speak, right there to that cross and hanging there and bleeding and dying and shouting the victory, finished, going into the grave and rising again. Oh, beloved, he's opened the very veins of God. He's opened the fountain of eternal life. He's opened the gates of possibility to every man and woman. And God is on these terms. Glory to God, he knows that generally speaking we've been a people robbed and snared and spoiled and hidden away in our little prison houses. He knows that. I know it too. I can remember the days when I first heard about that God would give a man a new pure heart and give him the Holy Ghost and fill him with the Holy Spirit. It was news to me. News to me. I'd been preaching before that, I'm telling you. I'd never heard it. I'd been robbed. Systematic teaching I'd had, but nobody had ever told me that. I'm not trying to blame anybody. There's a Bible open for everybody to read, and none has excuse. But somehow by doctrine and clever steerage, we were never allowed to dwell on such scriptures.
I was robbed, but not for long, not when I heard it. Praise God. I was shut off in my prison house there. Oh, God brought me out. I was caught in ever so many snares. God brought me out. Blessed be his wonderful name. He's got a great plan for us, beloved. Hallelujah. And his great plan starts like this. It's so marvelous. Are you ready to read with me in chapter 44? This is how he's going to start. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, which is a name for Israel, meaning upright, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And now listen to these grassy people. They shall spring up as among the grass, as willows. So they're going to turn from grass to trees. They're going to turn from grass to trees. There'll still be plenty of grassy people about, blown about by any sort of wind of doctrine, swayed hither and thither. But when God pours out his Holy Spirit, they spring up like trees. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now this is God's beginning. Hallelujah. You remember, the desert shall blossom as the rose. Keep these great truths in mind. I'm pouring out my spirit, he says. And he says, one shall say, I am the Lord's. That's what he said, you'll be witnesses to me. Acts 1:8. Another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. Another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord and surname himself by the name of Israel. So don't be too keen to hang one name on it all, will you? No. When God pours out his spirit, it doesn't particularly matter what they call themselves, Jacobites, Israelites, or what not. I'm the Lord's. Glory be to God. No matter if they're Pentecostals or any queer name, holiness people or evangelicals or fellowshipites or urchins, doesn't make any difference with God. Listen, I'm the Lord's. If I said, stand up every one of you that would go to work Monday morning and say that. I'm prepared to say it here. Yeah, I know. That's what the church is suffering from. I am the Lord's. I walked through Exeter today. I saw a little girl, she stood about high there. She stood up against an entrance to our marvellous new shopping precinct. And she had the worker. There she was, a standing testimony to communism, I expect. Right out of there. On her own. Come on, you men. A little girl on her own. She let her world know that she's a communist and wants to spread their dialectical materialism and wants to spread their politics, wants to spread their anti-God position in religious Exeter. There she stood, unafraid. I must say I think she looked rather miserable, but still, what do you expect? I am the Lord's. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you have been in this glorious position? Where God's poured his
Spirit upon you. When were you baptized in the Holy Ghost? When did it happen to you? I can tell you the exact time. I can tell you the exact spot where it happened to me. Long, long way away from here. I can tell you. I know where God poured the glorious Holy Ghost upon me. And it seems to me that having done it once, he wants to keep on doing it. Bless him to let that glorious Spirit come with life and power and joy and purity and all the blessedness of it. Oh God, to be filled with God the Holy Ghost is life. Amen. Less than that and you're subnormal. What a glorious thing when God does this for men and women. Oh, this is what he says. Look in verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and the Redeemer, the Lord thereof, Lord of hosts, I'm the first, I'm the last. Beside me there's no God. That's it. That's what God does in his redeeming love and mercy. In the fact that he's Alpha and Omega, pours out the glorious Spirit in abundance from heaven. So that men and women should spring up and say, I'm the Lord's. I'm the Lord's. Not because I made a decision at a meeting particularly. Not because I did anything like that. Not because I believe certain doctrines. But oh, because God has poured the glorious Holy Spirit out like floods from heaven. Hallelujah. We're just about getting used to this flood scene in England these days. We had to get used to drought about 6 months ago. Now we've got used to the heavens opening and the waters pouring out of the skies. When did you have a spiritual experience like that? Not that we've got to live in the mere thrills of experiences of this order or that. But we all know when it rains. At least I do, don't you? We wake up, my wife says, is it fine, dear? She says. I take her a cup of tea, and she drinks that, and then asks me the normal question. Is it raining? Or something like that, you see? That's how it's gotten. But don't you understand? We all know when God pours the glorious waters out upon us. She takes me a cup of tea up occasionally. Well, she's not with me very often. But the great truth about it is that God wants us to see the thing he's got in his heart for us, beloved. When did it happen? Listen, go back with me into that lovely 41st chapter. Look at verse 17. Now, come on. You might feel ever so needy and very poor. I don't mean necessarily financially, but I mean in the coinage of heaven. Have you got any coinage that counts in heaven? You can't take traveler's checks when you go. In chapter 41, verse 17, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittar tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, the pine, the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this. And the Holy One of Israel has created it. Hallelujah. Now this is what God's going to create. grass into trees. My word. This is the great contrast. God wants to make you a man or a woman of God. An oil tree. Oh my. A cedar tree. You know what with cedars, don't you? Those noble cedars of Lebanon. Those monarchs of trees. Have you ever seen these great cedars? There's none like them in the earth. These great regal monsters. Especially of Lebanon. Or the box tree. You know how hard boxwood is, don't you? I can remember when I was a kid, I used to live in London. Sorry about that, but I did. And we used to have, you know, in London in those days, I suppose it's altered now, we used to have seasons. You used to play hoops with one season, then we used to have top season, then we used to have marble season, then we used to have a season playing football and break people's windows. But that sort of thing, because I played in the streets, by the way, I never had your palatial Exeter to live in, or anything like that. And I can remember that when we played peg tops, we used to like to get hold of what we called in our East End language a boxer. My word. Because you see, we were brought up really to fight right from the beginning. So you play games. Don't you know how to do it? Oh dear, your education's been neglected. We used to play these tops and we used to spin them out like that on the ground. So you used to try and knock another one out of a circle, you see. And if you did, you got hold of his top, because when you hit it like that with your pole, you banged it and banged it and banged it and banged it. So if you had a boxer, as they call it, could take all the bangs and never split. But the ordinary wood, you'd split them, so you had to go to the shop and buy another one. Well, that's the enmity that was bred in our hearts from children. Do you understand that? Boxers, they were made of boxwood. They were tough. God says, I've got to do this. I want to make men and women of you. Have you ever read in that New Testament where Paul writes to Timothy and says, but thou, O man of God. If he wrote like that, if he wrote to you, could he write like that? I include you women here. We're very honored to have you. Thou, O man of God. What are you? This is what God does when he baptizes in the Holy Ghost. It's a beginning. Hallelujah. But it's not an ending. Now, too many have undoubtedly been blessed of God. God has given them the Spirit. He's done wonderful things in their lives. We're hearing much about charismatic this, that, and the other in these days. And praise God, I've had the joy of preaching to people all over the world. I shall never forget preaching to crowds and crowds of Catholics out in India, there where they gather together and drink in the Word of God. Fathers and sisters and mothers, as they would be called in that background, just, they didn't dress up, you wouldn't have known them, they just looked like normal people, and they came and gathered by their hundreds and listened to the preaching of the word and flocked to the front to be baptized in the Holy Ghost or healed in their body or whatever it was that their need was, responding to it all. But oh, beloved, if you and I think that all that God wants to do is to bring us into what we might call a charismatic experience and think that's that, oh, hallelujah, let Isaiah correct us. Let him show us. Let the man of God prophesy the truth into our hearts. This is but a beginning. This, as we saw, the prophet said, but they can't take the word of God. They won't take it, Lord, if I preach it to them. God said, never mind, cry. It's going to be published throughout the world whether men believe it or whether they reject it. It has to be proclaimed. And it will be. God grant that from this meeting there shall rise up those who will preach the great word of God fearlessly on every hand, for whosoever will. That's what God said to Ezekiel. When Ezekiel said, oh, thou just think that they've heard somebody singing a lovely song if I preach them. Lord, he knew his people, the people he was preaching to. Never mind, says God to Ezekiel, son of man, set your face like a flint. Preach it, whether they will hear it or forbear. Preach it! Bless God, the gospel is not dependent upon the ears that hear. It's upon the heart that pronounces it. The glorious God of heaven has one message to say to us, beloved. I'll pour the water on those that are thirsty, he says. I'll send floods upon the dry ground. It'll be grass and then it'll be trees. Or it'll be a barren desert, sand, rocks, barren brown earth. And I'll call it the blossom. That's what I've got to do. But that's not the end of it. It's so that God might get hold of these people that he's baptized in the Holy Spirit and get them on the great highway. Let's go back to the 35th chapter and remind ourselves. Verse 8. And an highway shall be there. And a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. There's no passage for the unclean on this way. It's a way that you might pass over. You see, God's got this great truth of passing over. Where to, Lord? Well, originally they had to pass over into the promised land. We're going further than that, though, before we're finished tonight. But the unclean are not going to pass over it, says God. That's right. It's the way of holiness. It shall be for those who... Look at verse 4. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Alleluia. Don't be afraid. Your God will come. Look at verse 5. The eyes of the blind should be opened. The ears of the deaf should be unstopped. The lame man going to leap like an hart. Oh, glory to God. If we had time, we'd read that precious verse in a later chapter, which says, I'll bring the blind by a way that they know not. Amen. And he says, I'll make all my mountains a way. Hallelujah. That's what he says, you see. All the mountains are going to be brought low. All the valleys are going to be lifted up. The valleys are going to be exalted. God is going to make a straight plain path for his people to walk in. Now, my beloved, do you want to walk on this way? Do you want to be on this great highway of God? Listen, chapter 40 again. I hope you love this book, and I hope tonight you'll love it a lot better. And in this 40th chapter, it says this, verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. There you are, that's where the sons are going to spring up. In the wilderness, God's going to pour out the water. Because you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, it doesn't mean that you've reached your objective yet. That's what he's saying. Now there's a way starts there. From the moment you're baptized in the Spirit, from the moment of the outpouring, from the moment when the floods come, from the moment when the blossoms start to come where once it was barrenness, where peace creeps in and joy starts to flood your soul, and clarity comes to your mind, and you start talking about being filled with the blessings of God, that's only the beginning. If you've made it a terminus, you've already foredoomed yourself. That's right. In the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made to straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Amen. The voice of the Lord has spoken it. He's going to have this. So John Baptist comes. You will remember. This was his great cry when people went to him. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, he said. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He's on it. Men and women may come to understand. He came. And all his message was this. Jesus is going to take away the sin of the world. He's the Lamb of God. He's going to take the sin of the world away. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. That's his twofold spiritual message. He had some practical application to material and natural things. Read his preaching. But this was the burden of his message. Amen. A way. A highway. No more wandering round. No more missing the mark. No more going astray. No more struggling with your uncleanness. The unclean shall not pass over it. If the baptism in the Spirit hasn't dealt with your basic uncleanness, then something's wrong. If God hasn't made you a holy people by giving you the Holy Spirit, then something's wrong. It's the way of holiness. No lion's going to be there, so if you're a lion-like man, or woman, if you've got one of these great dragon-like spirits in you, if you're always quarrelling, fighting, heaving, arguing, scratching, tearing, punching, shoving, if you've got that sort of a spirit inside you, beloved, you're not going to get on this way. That's got to be changed. And God can change it. And he wants to change it. Please don't think that you're going to have 50 years trying to subdue your own spirit inside of you. Please believe that God comes and slays it by the power of Calvary. Please believe that the glorious truth of the baptism in the Holy Ghost brings in this almighty power of God whereby he conquered sin and death and hell and sickness and darkness and the grave. And he comes into your life with that great power to deal with your basic uncleanness and to deal with all the hardness and to deal with all the crookedness and to deal with all this great high mountainous pride, all this complete opposite of all introversion and all being low down here and washed out. God doesn't want either of those positions. Everything's got to be plain and straight for him. He's a very simple God. I said simple, not sinful. And he's not going to have a sinful people. He's going to have a simple people. People who understand what he's moving to. Amen. And amen, and amen. Oh, listen to the way he talks. I love his language. In the 53rd chapter of this book, you will remember, we have the glorious cross. You know, Jesus, he's led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. He's taken from prison and from judgment, and who's going to declare his generation? Oh, and away goes all the glorious unfolding of this man. But he's still pessimistic about it, this great prophet. He still said, but Lord, who's believed our report? That's how he starts. Who's going to believe it? He divides the spoil of the strong. We're all like grass, and we're poor, and we're needy, and we're worms. But listen, if we'd read that verse about worms, he said, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob. I'm going to make you a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth, and thou shalt thresh the mountains and make them like chaff." Fancy a worm threshing mountains. This is the way God does it. When he moves upon a disordered heart, when he comes into a life that's needing God and release and salvation and purity, when he comes in and makes a man or woman holy, oh, he changes everything in that life, beloved. He makes a worm more than a match for a mountain. My word. Is your tongue cleaving to the roof of your mouth, wanting God to give you this glorious drink? Lord, start there with me. I want to go on. I want to go through. From that baptism, you've got to get onto the highway. Get onto the highway. The highway of God's holiness. He who has power to baptize you and me in the Holy Ghost has power to keep us holy, and power to keep us clean, and power to keep us going on. He said, "You'll mount up with wings as eagles. You'll run. You'll not be weary. And you'll walk, and you'll not be faint." Right, you're on the highway now. Running to the highway, Lord. Flying to the highway, yes. Lord, I want to walk this way with Jesus. Are you? Sin, gone. Worldliness, gone. The devil, no place in you. Living for God, like Jesus did. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Well, that's marvelous. That's people who are baptized in the Spirit. Let's move on. I'm moving on quickly to chapter 61. There are things beyond this for every man and woman of God who wants them. Supposing I said now at this juncture, I'm not finished. I'll tell you when it's 10 o'clock. We've got to be out by 10, is it? 10:30. Oh, that's good. I'll finish in time for you to say hello to everybody. But supposing I stopped here, and I said, "Stand up, every one of you." I says, "Lord, I'm on this highway. I'm baptized in the Spirit." How many of you would stand up? "Lord, thank you. You've put my feet on this road. I understand that no lions, no dragons, no unclean people are going to be there. I don't want to be unclean anymore, Lord. Amen. Nothing's going to frighten me. I know you said it's for a wayfaring man. I've fared along many ways. They've all led to greater darkness. If I don't stop, it'll be outer darkness. From which there is no return. But God has met me, and I'm on the road, baptized in the Spirit." 61. Chapter 61. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." We read about them, you remember earlier. "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees, there it is, the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And so it goes on. Where's this highway leading? If we're on this highway, where's it going? I read about it in chapter 62. God was never just wanting to get people out of Egypt and in a state of blessing, relying on the blood, which they did, the blood of the Lamb. God was never, ever only wanting to do that. He was wanting to get them into that great promised land of his. And he would have taken them by a great highway, marked out by himself, by the pillar of cloud. They would have gone through that howling wilderness, with God spreading their breakfast table for them every morning. And they could go out and gather the manna, giving them meat for their lunch too, and all sorts of glorious things. And he would have brought them into that promised land, but not just to be in that promised land, the way of the Spirit of God, for you know that the cloud represents the Holy Ghost, the cloud of glory and fire at night and cloud by day, and he was leading them through. But not just like for the Spirit to be a highway to you. God had an objective in mind, and his objective was Jerusalem and Zion. And at the time that God is speaking, Jerusalem is a desolation, and Zion, the glory of God and of men, was waste. That's what he said. Now you're going to build the wastes. You're going to be the builders. Hallelujah. You're not just saying, oh glory, we're on the highway, you know, where's my tambourine? Well, that's fine. Do rejoice. Praise the Lord. It's great to be like that. But there's a work to do. This is what the call is for. Baptize under the sacred anointing. The man who comes under the anointing of the Spirit of God, he proclaims greater things than outpourings of water and standing up of trees and ways and highways. He proclaims the city of God, how broad, how fair. Listen, let's reread the scripture. 62 verse 1, for Zion's sake, says God, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof goes forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Oh, beloved brothers and sisters, the word's gone out of his mouth. He's going to do it. There's another call. The call is not just, ho, all ye thirsty, come ye to the waters, and ye that have no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, buy wine and milk without money and without price. That is a call in the Bible. Neither is the call, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That's in the Bible, but that's not the end of the call. That's the great central focal point of it all, that glorious cross of Christ, followed by the mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, streams in the desert, blossoms and fruit in the lives, fulfillment. That's marvelous. Something more than to make you holy, my beloved brother and sister. Oh, God. The church. For you will know in the New Testament that the church is his body, and the church is great New Jerusalem, which you will find in the book of the Revelation, coming down from God out of heaven.
It's this. How many of us this night, under the glorious sacred anointing of God, are consecrated unto God's great ends? Are you? Are you? Why are you living? Why do you think you have a right to draw God's breath? Do you think the world owes you something? God has saved us with this great intention, beloved. So we read. We read of Jerusalem. We read of Zion. We read of walls and gates. Who's going to build the city of God? The revelation that's given to Jesus Christ. As you open the book of the Revelation, and you look down through its corridors of power, of signs, of wonders, of trumpets, of seals, of vials, of angels, of Babylons and beasts. And you see right down to the end, and there she is, the joy of his heart, the revelation of Jesus Christ, New Jerusalem. That's it. Nothing to do with what Blake wants to have us trumpeting about, what Jesus Christ has to say. Glorious New Jerusalem. Glorious New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem isn't a new political system, whether it be socialist or Tory or communist or something other far out. There's no utopia. This world is destined for destruction. That's what the book says. In vain the politicians cry out, blithered and blasted by their evolutionist ideas of self-improvement. God has written it for judgment. It's in the book. Who's going to build New Jerusalem? Say, well, seeing that Jesus revealed the vision of his heart, it's got good foundations, it's there all right. Yes, that's right. But don't you see, beloved, there are those who on this earth have got to give themselves utterly up to God for his purposes. So they've got to be brought, these blind people that have the eyes, these people that are living out in the wilderness, these people that don't know, that are snared and imprisoned and caught, they're bound by Satan, they're twisted, they're perverted, they're knotted up inside, they're distraught, they're ill, they're psychologically disturbed, they're probably living in all kinds of dens. Only the other day I heard, in case, well, some of you will know probably the background of this talking, that we, because of the numbers we're having to gather in the particular place where I come from, we've got to find somewhere to worship. We're standing up all over the place now. So we started a hunt for halls to meet in. So a certain brother known to many applied for a hall, and he rang the man up over the phone. And he said, we hear you have a hall. Yes, we have. Do you think we could use it? Told him what we were, a fellowship. Got to find outside premises because we were bursting at the seams and increasing pretty well weekly. I don't know quite what's happening. But anyway, it's so tremendous that God's blessing. And he said, oh, I don't think you'd like to come here on Sunday mornings. He said, because what you want to do is incompatible with what happens here every Sunday morning at dinner time. What's that? Striptease. In Exeter. It'll be going on Sunday morning. From midday. So we couldn't use the hall.
The man rather thought we wouldn't want to be associated with it anyway. Perhaps he'd got that a little bit wrong, but still, never mind. People are like that. Oh, beloved. Who's going to be the pioneers? Who's going to live for God? Who's not just going to rest back on having a good drink from God? Who's not just going to be content to say, well, I think I'm on the way anyway? Who's not going to rest and say, well, the flowers are blooming, it's beautiful, and the fruits are glorious, and it's the time of the singing of the birds, and it's ever so lovely, and barrenness has given way to fruitfulness. Hallelujah for every heart that can really say that. But beloved, listen to this cry. Listen to it. Listen. Verse 6. I've set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that are the Lord's remembrance, as I've come out of the Hebrew for this one, you that make mention of the Lord. Ye that are the Lord's remembrances, keep not silence, give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand, by his right hand. Glory be to God. And you know what the advice Jesus gave to a man on earth once? He said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. He said, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. He says, I've sworn by my right hand, and nobody's going to cut off God's right hand. Although it said in the 53rd chapter that he was cut off out of the land of the living, who's going to declare his generation? And glory be, in the third day he rose again, and the hand of God was not cut off, and his arm isn't shortened. He can save, and he's sworn by it, by the resurrection of the Christ, by the dying and by the rising of the Christ, he's going to do it. And where's the man that will come on his side? Where's the woman that will lead the world? Where is she? Oh God, look upon us. Where's the man? Here, listen. Verse 10, go through, he says, go through. God, give us some go through spirits. Men and women will go through hell if necessary. Go through the gates, he says. That's what he's after. Somebody with the vision of God. Why do you think he's put the revelation and the vision at the end of the book? So that we shouldn't finish up with a vision of a lake of fire. We have to see it en route. So that we don't have to finish with Babylon cast into the sea like a stone from heaven. So that we don't have to finish up looking at people wandering in a wilderness. The vision of God. Through, he says. Man, woman, if only you go through. Last Saturday night here together, some of us were thinking on this great word of breakthrough. Go through. Have you got to go through, Spirit? Have you? Or is it like the prophet says, well, they're grass, Lord. If I tell them these things, they're grass. That's what the writer of the Hebrews had to say. You may read it yourself. He said, you ought to be teaching others. I've got to give you milk. I can't. There's very little strong meat in the Bible. It's nearly all milk. You read and see. Milk, milk, milk. Given out by these great apostles. because they couldn't get men. But he got hold of a Timothy and he says, "Thou man of God, I charge thee, go through thee, Titus, Philemon." They didn't come by the church full. They came by individuals. Men and women who are ready to go through with God. A thousand things distract and turn. A million things allure, and the world puts them up, and they're so glamorous, cheap tinsel. And men and women who say they're baptized in the Holy Ghost go off after them. God says, it's a highway. Keep on it. Don't go dancing in bypath meadow because the flowers are lovely and the poppies are there. Keep on the highway. Where will it lead, my Lord? To the gates of the city. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Hallelujah. What was that thing we sang about? Oh, sorry, chorus. What was that chorus we sang about? Flying from the cast of our heart. Thank you. It's wonderful. The standard, though, isn't joy. The standard is the glorious Christ life by the blessed Spirit. Nothing less. The life of the man of the manger and the judgment hall and Golgotha and the tomb. The life of the man of Nazareth, Galilee, Capernaum, rulers' houses, or graveyards where the demon possessed lived. That's it. Go through. Some people sell their birthright for a mess of pottage. That's what Esau did. It'll tell you that in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, which is the same chapter that talks about you've come to the heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to Mount Zion. That's where you've come. Go through, man. Don't you be turned aside by anything or anybody. Gifts are marvelous. They're a means, they're not an end. Meetings, great meetings, serve a purpose. They'll be your graveyard if that's all you think about. You've got to go through spirit. I like to be challenged by these men. Isaiah, such a man, listen. You can read about him in the 6th chapter. That book tells you that he overheard a conversation in heaven. And God was saying, who will go for us? Who should we send? He said, here am I, Lord, send me! We're talking about him today. Will they be talking about you 10 years after you're dead? Say, well, I don't particularly want to. It doesn't matter about what you want. Are you worth it? Will your life have been worth it? Will it have made a mark sufficient for God to care or notice. Here's a man that went through. Yes, he went through saying, Lord, if I preach them, they won't hear. They're like grass, they're like worms. He wasn't calling them names. You have to face reality in the end. Speak to them comfortably, he says. Speak to their hearts. Will you let God talk to your heart tonight? What's first in there? Bishop Taylor Smith was chaplain general to Her Majesty's forces. I don't mean this Queen, but Victoria. He was a dear man of God. He used to preach sometimes on Daniel. And about him, you know, challenging people to dare to be a Daniel. And he came out with a phrase like this. I once heard it, that's all. I only heard it once. It stuck in me, and this is what it was. Listen. Young man, tell me which way you're looking, and I'll tell you which way you're going. Lord, I see when you go through, there's been some building of the done. Workmen of God, there's a cross to be borne, there's a life to be laid down, there's a call to answer. There is that to which I must give my life, seeing He hath opened heaven and poured that blessed Spirit upon me and made my world to flourish and my desert to bring forth so abundantly. Oh God, forgive me for every moment I've wasted tarrying at a flesh spot here or seeing something else that's attracted me like a bauble to a babe, and you were looking for a man cast in the mould of the man of Calvary. If the baptism in the Holy Ghost doesn't make us like Jesus Christ, God's wasted His time upon us. God's looking for men and women who go through. Will you go through? You mustn't let her stop you or him. Nothing. Go alone. They never come by the churchful. They never come by the thousand. Not to this. Oh, they flock by the millions out of Egypt, singing about the blood. Yes, glory be to the precious blood. But here he is, pleading for a man. Listen, is there somebody coming? Let me read about you. Chapter 63. I hope this Bible excites you like it does me. In chapter 63, who's this that cometh? Go through, go through. Who's this that's coming? Coming from Edom. There's Esau, who sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. Edom and Esau are identical. Who's this that cometh from Edom? With dyed garments from Bozrah, of all places. This that's glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. It's God. He's answering your question. All focus on Jesus. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, They never come by their dozens. The dozen apostles abandoned him to it. One man went alone. The elect left him. Oh, Lord, surely not. Yes, it's true, son. They did. They did. They did. And is he pointing at you and saying, she's left me? He's left me. I brought them out of prison. They can sing about this. But they won't go with me. Of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment, for the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Are your garments stained in blood? The blood that his garments were stained in, though he never had a stitch on him on the cross. The purple robe, though, was stained with his purple blood, seeping into its texture, looking the same. Ere they stripped it off him, but his garments are stained with blood. This is the spirit of the man that goes through. We are so concerned to keep our garments white. We're on the way of holiness. Will you make them red? Will you give your blood? Will you give your life? Will you go through? Thank God that their vengeance was not in his heart, save against our enemies at the cross, save against that devil. There was vengeance in his heart as well as grace on that cross. But against our enemies, we can be free of them all, beloved. Come out of your prison house. Come out of your bondages. Come out of everything. Come clear for God. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a marvelous experience. But it's to fit you for God to come through in your anointing and move on with him, Lord. Here's my life. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. Speak ye to the hearts of my people, he said. Speak to their hearts. Tell them their warfare is accomplished. I want to tell you that it's all done. You need have no conflict in your heart or in your mind. You know go through no battles. Come sweetly to the heart of Jesus. Come there to your eternal home. Come into power. Come into grace that you've never known before. Come into sweetness. Come into everything. Rest there. Your warfare is accomplished. It's all over. There's no fighting to be done. All you do is go through sweetly with God. Listen, you've got to get down on your knees, though. You go through those gates on your knees and now bleed. You go through there to build and build and build and give your life to God and let the world go. Except to preach the gospel to them.
except to set the example. That's where you've got to come. I want to tell you, it's going to cost you your all. See the man that went through. See him. When you see him coming through the clouds, there will be those that will look on him whom they pierced. This same Jesus is coming back, and he stands there, this sweet Lord who conquered all my self and my sin and my desperate. Oh, he died it all, and he's going to come back, beloved. And I want to be like him when he comes. I really do. We sang it, oh, to be like thee. He went through. Are you ready? If I gave you an opportunity to respond before God tonight, he's already spoken to your heart, I know. Would you make a response? Would you come and stand, I'm here? Say, yes, Lord, I'll go through. So I don't quite know all that means. I didn't. But whatever it means right. And it means good. That's what it means. Total committal. Not because he'll give you a blueprint for the future. You can spell the future in 5 letters. Here they are. J-E-S-U-S. That's future for you. That's your only guarantee. But what a guarantee. Hallelujah. Are you going to make a response? I want you, facing God tonight, to make your complete response to the Lord. If he's put his finger on your heart, on things in your life, and you know you haven't been giving 100% for the Lord, talk about baptism in the Spirit and charismatic this and that and the other. They're wonderful words, it's all right. But, nothing. Who's going through there? Okay. Would you make your response, clearing everything out from the bottom of your heart and bottom of your life? Lord, I'm yours. Totally. Let's pray, shall we? I think I said enough. You've got to get your life right with God tonight. I don't know you all. Those of you in this room who really, really never come through to this place where God radically changed you. And you've proved already, young or old, that this world isn't worth living for and scarcely worth living in. I give you an invitation to come and make your response. And you too, that know that God's talked to you and you've got to go through with God and you're going through with God, you leave your seats and come and walk down here and let's all pray together. Let's do it before God. Lord, you can keep pouring your Spirit. I'm going through.